I do want to share a word with you today. Let's turn to, maybe you don't, unless you've got an Amplified. You can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 8 and 9. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, but keep your Bible open, because I can also use other versions of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. We are hedged in or pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Is there anybody here today that's hungry for more of God? I believe with all the disasters and all the things that are happening in our land, God is also preparing a people for the next move of God. He is bringing forth a people who will be able to receive what He is doing. However, just like you are preparing for what may be inevitable in this state, we must prepare for what God is inevitably going to do with His church. And so today I want to give you three keys to getting to the next level with God. The first one we find in these two verses, and here's what I want to say about it. Untie the knots in your life. Untie the knots in your life. The N-O-T-S. It stands for this: the negative opinions that stifle. The negative opinions that stifle. The knots are the negative reactions from our carnal nature because of the work of the Spirit that's going on within us. There are four of them found in this text, and that's the reason I'm using the Amplified. However, the first one is clearly identified in the King James Version. The first one is called distress. In the Amplified, it says cramped or crushed. But I want to make it simple for you today. So untie the first knot called distress. What is it? Well, if you're like me, you're running out of time to get things done anymore. For some reason, there just doesn't seem to be enough time. We have got so much going on in our lives today, we wonder how we can accomplish anything. We are pressed on every side. And because of that, nothing seems to be going smoothly. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But we are not cramped or crushed. I must not allow my spirit to be crushed. I'm not getting out of the game because of distress. It feels like everything that I do is a lemon. But I'm going to take that lemon and make lemonade. I can turn it around. I'm not going to allow distress to control my life, because God says that He's causing everything to work together for my good, because I love Him and I'm called according to His purposes. So what's the first knot that you've got to untie? Distress. The second knot is called despair. Untie the knot called despair. The scripture in the Amplified says it this way: we suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. What is it? I think all of us have probably been there at one time or another, because we all suffer embarrassment that brings on perplexities. One that I encounter more than I wish is the people who love to tell you, "I'll be there at a certain time." And you wait for 30 minutes before they show up. It just does something inside of you. It just ties a knot. Well, maybe they had an accident. And then when you find out they didn't have an accident, you think, well, how can they do that to me? My time's just as valuable as theirs. It's a pet peeve of mine that people take advantage of you. Recently, I'd purchased something for the church, and I always put it on a credit card and then pay the credit card off at the end of the month. And it was some equipment that didn't work. And because I'm so thrifty, I love to purchase off of the internet. You can buy the best bargains off of the internet. And so I purchased this. By the way, it came from California. And it didn't work. So I called them. I got my return authorization, and I sent it back. 2 weeks went by. I didn't have my credit. 3 weeks went by, I didn't have my credit. So I finally called them because I had a tracking number. I knew they'd received the merchandise 3 days after I sent it to them. And I called and I said, I returned this merchandise. Well, yeah, we'll check on it. Okay, we've got it. Where's my return? Where's my credit back? Oh, we'll do that right now, Dr. Ross. And I said, thank you very much. Hung up the phone. Another week went by. I still didn't have my credit. I called them back again. Said the same thing. Oh, we'll do that right now, Dr. Ross. Okay, thank you very much. Another week went by. I still didn't have it. Now, because I'm such a pleasant person, I called them one more time, and I said, I've called twice. This is my third time. It's been over a month. I still don't have the credit for this merchandise. We'll do it right now, Dr. Ross. I said, wait a minute. You told me that for the last 3 weeks, and you didn't do it right now. And so he finally did, while I stayed on the phone, return my credit on my credit card. But it just gets to me. It brings perplexity. And that's what's happening today with so many people, because they just don't know what to do. When they think they know what to do, they're not doing it. And it causes them to feel hopeless today, because nothing's getting accomplished and people's word don't mean anything any longer. But God's word says, I will not be driven to despair. So we have to realize, if we're going to grow up in Christ in this hour, that we have to know that sunshine and shadows take place in our life. David said it so well when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, but hope has been given as a sure anchor of the soul. You see, it is hope that must supersede despair, especially for the believer's life, so we can go out and encourage others. So the first knot that we have to untie is what? The second knot is? And the third one is called desertion. We see in the Amplified, we are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. I think we all know what desertion is. It's a feeling of being abandoned. It's a feeling of being forsaken. I shared several stories with the men this weekend of things that I've been going through, and everything that I shared has happened in the last 30 days. I have one more story to tell that has happened in the last month. 3 weeks ago today, after the morning service, I left for a trip to Atlanta, Georgia, and I drove because I took my associate with me. And it was to a board meeting for our college in Atlanta the following day. We drove 10 hours, got there late at night, went to bed, got up in the morning to attend my first meeting. Within 15 minutes after the meeting began, my cell phone started to go off. Usually I don't mess with it, especially if I'm doing something else of a professional nature. But when I looked at it, it was my wife. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You always answer the phone when it's your wife. And I don't care what I'm doing. I answered the phone, and I'm glad I did, because my wife was in tears. And she was crying out because just a couple hours earlier, one of the members of our church had committed suicide. And sitting there in this room with 30 other men, it was pretty hard to keep your composure. I asked her what happened, and she told me. Now, I had just driven 10 miles to Atlanta, and I said, I'll be right home. So I went to the president of the school, and I interrupted him, and I whispered in his ear and told him what had happened. And immediately he stopped the meeting. He fell on my shoulders, and he cried with me. Let me tell you something, folks. At that moment, when my wife called, I had felt so abandoned and so alone because I was so far from where this incident had taken place. But this man, Dr. Connell's his name, he reached out, and those men reached out and ministered to me and then said, by the Spirit of God, take this with you and minister to that family that just lost their father. And in our church, he'd been with us for about 15 years. Nobody knew why he did it. He did not leave a note, a letter. But when I got home, I got home late that night. I turned around, drove another 10 miles, 10 hours to go home. It was late at night when I got home. And so the next morning I went to her house. He left a wife. And the first thing she said to me was, Pastor, why did he leave me? Why would he leave me? Why did he leave me? Why did he leave me? He didn't tell me this was going to happen. None of us. He was at church that morning when I left. I spoke with him before I left. There was no indication that anything was wrong. No indication for his wife that anything was wrong. But at that moment, when she said, why did he leave me? All I could do was reach out and weep with her. Because it's a feeling that if you've never experienced it before, you just can't imagine the vacancy, the emptiness that's in your heart at that time. But hallelujah, the scripture says we are not forsaken. We are not abandoned. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us through everything, in every situation, no matter how difficult it is. We look at the families of Katrina and Rita and we say, Lord, how can they endure this? But the Lord says, I'm with them through all of this, no matter what takes place. That week was a very difficult week for us. This woman that was left is 50 years old. They were both very common people. They didn't have a high-paying job. He left no insurance, no life insurance. So our church has taken upon ourselves to minister to this widow woman. She's just a simple lady. She doesn't know how to write checks. She doesn't know how to pay bills. And so we've been working with her on a daily basis. And on Saturday of that week, we had a funeral that absolutely blew my socks off. We had over 300 people show up at this funeral. Standing room only in the church. They were standing in the back, even out in the foyer. And one by one, people got up and began to share what this man's life had meant to them. I knew what it meant to me. He was the kind of guy that gave everything to anybody. He had nothing. He left nothing. But he gave, and he gave, and he gave. And that was my encouragement to his wife. I know you feel abandoned. I know you feel forsaken right now. but remember all that your husband did. Don't sit and contemplate, Lord, why did he do this? Remember what he had done for all of the people. And I want you to know in that church service, and it was a church service, the presence of the Lord was so strong. The people in my congregation the next day said, Pastor, there was such an anointing in this place. Because you see, most of those people were from the city. They were leaders in the city. They were police officers in the city. They were firemen in the city. This man had touched so many lives. And God, by God's grace, I was able to preach a message of encouragement to these people and hope for them. And that's what the Lord wants to give you today. You have not been deserted. You have not been abandoned. You have not been forsaken, no matter what your situation is today. Our God is big enough. We can't relax anymore because of what we're experiencing. But all we have to do is turn to the Lord. And when we turn, that means repent and call upon Him and pour out your soul. We don't deserve what He does for us. But He says, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And hallelujah, we're glad for the end of the age. We say, hallelujah, it's about time. But now that it's here, we wonder if we could go back a little ways. The fourth knot to untie is called defeat. Scripture says we are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. And that word simply means defeat. It means this. Beaten. Defeat means beaten until you can't get up. It means prevented from accomplishing, rendering null and void. You see, if you're in the providential will of God, then you're going to be struck down. Sometime, somewhere, under some circumstance, you're going to fall off your feet and get on your knees and cry out for God's mercy. But let me tell you something. Defeat is not for living. It's for learning. We are struck down to the ground, but we are never struck out and destroyed. Somebody say amen. In the world, Jesus says, you shall have tribulation. But what's the rest of the verse? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And here's what you need to remember about defeat. Make sure you get up more times than you're knocked down. And you'll never experience defeat. The same God who called us is the same one who will enable us to untie the knots. So let me ask you, what are the four knots? Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. All right. Now, my message isn't over, but I want everybody to stand up. You know what we do today? When we get knots in our life, usually they show up in your shoulders, your neck, or your back. Chiropractic, do we have any chiropractors in here today? You know, it's good business today. They're pretty busy. I want you to turn around right now, and I want you to give somebody a back rub. Come on. Come on. Come on, get those knots out. There you go. Oh, boy, they got it back here. Look at that. That's the way to do it. Okay, you can sit down. Now, isn't that refreshing?
Yes.
See, when you get the knots out, it just makes you relax. And that brings us to the second point. If you're going to be ready for this move of God in your life, not only do you have to deal with these knots that wrap us all up and make us tense, the Lord says, we've got to learn to enjoy the moment. find a way to laugh. I heard some laughter here this morning. That's merry medicine for the soul. But you know what? You can laugh at other people and other things, but the Lord wants you to laugh at yourself. Get over yourself. It's not that bad. It is not. Your situations aren't any worse than anybody else's. What I've been through this month is just part of life. Hallelujah. My God is able to bring us through. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am in to be content. What is contentment? It is the Greek word autarkis. Say autarkis. It comes from two Greek words, autos, which means self, and archaeo, which means to be enough or adequate. In other words, contentment is sufficiency with oneself. Sufficiency with oneself. Now, how can you be sufficient? Or how can you be satisfied with yourself? Especially in this day and age when everybody's making so many mistakes. Well, according to Scripture, it is not something that comes naturally. Did you catch it? Is it still up there? He said it. Contentment does not come naturally. It has to be learned. He says, whatever state you're in, learn. Learn to be content. Say contentment. It's all about faith. It's all about faith in Him, sufficiency in Him. Lord, whatever I'm experiencing, whatever I've got today, it's okay. If you know what I'm going through, then you've already approved it. Amen? And therefore, it's sufficient. And I can go through. I thank God I have an associate that loves to laugh. Now, I am not a laugher by nature. I'm one of those hard-nosed, grim, work-all-the-time people. But my associate, when you can't be around him more than 30 seconds, you've just got a smirk on your face, and pretty soon you're laughing because he just knows how to make everything just so simple. And I love him to death. And I told him, I said, that's the only reason I keep you around, because you always make me laugh. Look at Philippians 4:13. Once again, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything. Hallelujah. Through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Contentment is a strength that comes in our inner man when we learn how to relax in places and predicaments that God has us in. The secret of contentment is knowing that it's already in here. Get it up, get it out, and begin to enjoy. 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 Say enjoy. 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 Say it again. Enjoy. Say it again. Enjoy. We need that. Yeah, it's dark out there, and it's pretty dismal out there in the world, but we're the body of Christ. We should have enjoyment because of the Christ who is in us. It's not natural, but it's something I can learn, that in whatever state, I can have contentment. You see, it's not the downfalls. It's not the uprisings of my life that bring contentment. It's how I deal with every experience that comes through the crucible of suffering. The ultimate good is being worked in your life for His glory. For His glory. You know, we're selfish people by nature. But when you come to the place that you realize everything you go through is for Him, then you can start to relax and enjoy life. Learn contentment in every circumstance, because I believe it's going to be a source of strength. And I know some of you here are in the master's program with Dr. McIntosh. And she gave us an assignment this year, and that assignment was the weapons of our warfare. And she gave us a list, and she told us that we need to learn how to use these weapons. I want to tell you a secret if you promise not to tell her. I found another weapon. It's called contentment. The enemy hates for you to be content. But you, when I discovered this, with everything that I've been going through this month, I just started proving the enemy could not control anything that was happening to me. I said, I'm going to take contentment today. And as soon as I would, the phone would ring and there would be something else. I'd get off the phone and I'd say, I'm going to keep contentment operating today because Jesus Christ is my source. And then something else would happen. And then something else would happen. And what I share with you guys this weekend, you know I'm still suffering. But there is a contentment because my God is in complete control. So enjoy every moment. Live every moment and learn from every moment of life. Accept self with all of its limitations and be content. Okay? Remember, we're coming to the next level with God. The first key is to untie the four D knots in your life. What are they? Okay? The second key is learn to be content and to enjoy the moment, especially about yourself. And the third one is to fall in love with God's grace. Fall in love with God's grace. You can turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Right in the middle of that verse, Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in all of these things that was happening to him. Fall in love with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, the Lord says to you, my grace is sufficient. Know where your strength comes from. When your heart is beating to the place that you go, Lord, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. The things that I'm going through are too much for me. Remember, there's grace that you will not fall. There's grace that you will not fail. Romans chapter 8 says it this way, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I shared that verse in the funeral of this man. And I was told it was like God was speaking to those people. I wish I could do it for you now, but you know, God can only do what God could do. They said it just resonated in there. And I was praying all the time that it would go into Kathy, his wife's life, and just fill her with hope from all that she'd experienced. Nothing that happens today can separate you from God's love, concern over your life. He gives grace and He keeps giving grace for everything. So fall in love with God's grace. Paul prayed three times that the thorn in his flesh would be removed, the buffeting of Satan. But when God said no, Paul simply said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to work with you and not against you." And there was only one way. Grace. Grace. To be able to take weakness and turn it into strength that would overcome anything in this life, it brought Paul to a new level. The next move of God. I don't know what it's going to consist of, but I want to be ready. Because God's going to move on the earth again. He's already moving in our lives. He's preparing us for things we never thought we would have to endure or go through. The secret, my grace is sufficient for you. We stand at a threshold of a new way of living in this next move. These people that have already been touched through these horrible disasters are going to have to find a new way to live. Don't allow anything to hold you back. We're being trained in righteous living for the day of darkness so the kingdom of God can come forth at a new level. That's what the world's waiting for. So number one, untie the knots in your life. It represents negative opinions that stifle. It's distress, despair, desertion, and defeat. Second, learn to enjoy the moment. Discover the secret of learning contentment. It's already in you. All you have to do is learn how to use it. And thirdly, fall in love. Fall in love with God's grace. Work with God's grace through anything that you go through. You may ask the question, how will I know that this thing's of God? Because God can and will use everything that you experience to turn your thorn into triumph. It's up to you to allow it. Anybody want to go to the next level with God? Stand up. I want everything God has for me. Turn over the distress. Let go of the despair. Don't let desertion override your mind and thinking. And get up if you've been knocked down, because you don't have to be defeated. And turn it into moments of laughter and pleasure and joy and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with others of like precious faith. Live in His presence. And turn your thorn into triumph. Heavenly Father, I bless you today because there's such a spirit within this church and upon these people in this hour. Lord, I know that they are suffering. They have many questions and concerns about life. But Father, I pray that you lift them up today with encouragement. And let them see that your favor is upon them. Lord, when Moses said, "Show me your glory," Lord, you said, "I'll show you my grace and my mercy." And Lord, that's what the people need today. Grace with mercy. To see that you are absolutely for us and not against us. And it's the sin of this world that is causing all the upheaval in life. But we'll press into you. We'll go to that next level with you. And Lord, let it begin this very day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to receive communion. Will the men please come? which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup of after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the blood and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are sick and weak among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." The scripture says that judgment begins in the household of God. And I believe that God has come and he has been judging his people. And that judgment consists of making sure everything in your life is in the right order for your purpose in life. So today, as we partake of this communion, may you search your hearts. May you be willing to hear what the Lord may say to you so that you may be healed and set free. And his grace is with us. He will forgive. And he wants to change you and make you an eternal spiritual life that can go forth and bless others. Do you know what a blessing it is today to be able to partake of communion? It is one of the greatest blessings that the church has. Remember his death until he comes. I believe we're in an hour. And again, we don't know what this next move of God's going to be. But I just sense there's going to be a resurrection life take place in the Spirit-filled life. And those who have paid the price, just like Jesus Christ paid the price, there's going to be resurrection power. As we partake of communion, we do it with the right heart, the right attitude, with a humble spirit. God wants to fill us with more of His Spirit, more of His Spirit, more of His Spirit, so that we are ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be in prayer even right now. Thank you, Jesus. we hold a morsel of bread in our hand, representing the body of Jesus Christ. And with the stripes that Jesus bore on His back, He said, when you remember what I've done, you can take that bread and ask Me, and I will heal you of your sicknesses and your diseases. If you have need of physical, emotional healing today, believe. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son. Jesus, I thank You for the price that You paid. One thing I know that You are doing with us in this hour is showing us the price that we have to pay. Lord, we will never be required to do what You did for the sins of the world and for the healing of our bodies. But Father, we believe today, because of Your sacrifice, we can take this bread, we can drink this cup, and we can become whole in Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever we continue to go through, we just believe that You are doing it for a reason. If it is to increase our faith, if it is to teach us how to be content with the things of life, if it is to prepare us for the next thing that would happen, then Lord, we say yea and amen to what You would do. But we do partake today. Lord, we ask You to forgive us of sins hidden and known, to truly change us and turn us about, so that we might come into the fullness of the Son of God and life of the Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for the blood that was shed. Lord, we know that it is not just to cover us, but it is to remove the sin, to remove every aspect of sin, to make us pure and holy before You this day. And so reverently, at this time, dear Lord, we eat and we drink. In Jesus' name, let us eat together. Let us drink together. If it's all right, Pastor, I would like to close this service. Maybe a little different than what you're used to. I don't know what you're used to. Could you all stand and come down front? I meant what I said. And I said, I know that your difficulties are just as great as mine. Being a pastor, people in general are going through difficult times. We can hear the Word of God, which is a comfort to our souls. It's a blessing. It's life to us. It's the food that we partake of. But we need one another, people. We need one another. Our children need their parents. But we need one another. I want you to reach out. I don't care what your temperament is. But you need to hug one another. You need to hug them with a hug from the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to love one another in the love of Jesus Christ. He loves you so much. I see Him coming to His people often, and they turn Him away because they've got too many troubles. They ignore Him because the pressures are too great. But God wants to love you through somebody today. Come on. Come on. Don't be bashful. Love somebody. Come on, love somebody. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let love flow. That's what communion's about. Fellowship in the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kita borodata paradekita ralakata. Kita ralakata.